I want to talk with you this morning on the subject, why we need the church. And in order to do that, we have to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and I put in at verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22, we read, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by many miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." And our text this morning is going to be verse 42, and it reads, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." This morning I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to try to answer it for you. And the question is this: is it possible to be a good Christian and stay away from church? How would you answer that question? If your answer is yes, you're not alone. You have many who would agree with you. You believe in God, you pray, and you consider yourself a Christian, and you feel you can get along very well without church. Your argument is that it is important how you relate to God and not how you relate to church. And so, let me repeat, the question before us is it possible to be a good Christian and stay away from church? Let's see how we can answer this from the Word of God this morning. The Bible tells us again and again that when people belong to Christ, those he has purchased through Calvary, they also belong to his church and are involved in the life and the work of the church. So that if you think you can be a good Christian without the church, you are really saying you know more than God says in his word. And I don't think that's a very bright idea. In my lifetime as minister of the gospel of saving grace, I met a good number of people who said why they did not belong to a church and why they had nothing to do with church. And because of their reasons, they had no other choice. Let me share with you some of their excuses. You may find yours in one of them, or you may have another one to add. But here they are. One very familiar one was, "I have to work on Sunday, and if I do not work, I could lose my job. Going to work is what pays my bills. Even if I do not have to work on Sunday, I work to get the extra weekend pay. I'm sure God understands." Others had things to do more important, such as, "I need the extra sleep," or, "It rained on Saturday and I did not get to wash the car or cut the lawn," or, "There are many other reasons for not going to church. It would just mess up my weekend." Others stay away because something happened to them there. A member or one of the leaders did something or said something that turned them off. So they decided that if that's what the church is like, that's not for me. You may belong with those who say, "I stay away because I feel uncomfortable there. I just feel out of place. Everyone seems to know one another, and I do not know a single person. And also, hardly anyone seems to want to talk with me and welcome me." And so you go to a place where you make yourself comfortable. Or you might have gone through a divorce and that makes you feel sort of embarrassed or guilty, and you just can't stand having to face all those people. These are but a few reasons why people say they stay away from church. But this morning, I want to show you that all this is besides the point. So what I would ask everyone who has a reason for staying away this question again. Are there any good reasons for church? If the reasons are in favor of the church and they are strong enough, then really you have no choice but to get involved no matter what your reasons are for staying away. If you think it's a private affair, sort of a me and Jesus thing, you are kidding yourself. You might be saying, who says you need church to be a good Christian? Well, permit me to tell you who says so. It's God that says so. I will hide behind his word as I answer this question. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 19, I read, God calls the church his household. And in chapter 3 and verse 15, I find the church is called the family of God. Reading these words, we can readily agree and come to the interpretation that if you stay away from the church, you are either one or the other. You are either running from home, or you are not part of God's family. And that is not all. We have more. She is called the bride of the church. The Lord sees beauty in her and shares with her love and intimacy. The church is precious to Jesus Christ. In the Bible we read, God often calls the church the body of Christ. And each and every member is a part of the body. Any body part to be alive and to be active must be connected to the body. In the same way, every Christian must be connected to the church. Christians understand that the body of Christ, the church, is alive by the Holy Spirit of God and carries on the work of the Lord, the work that he gave her to do in the world. And so why church? Because the church is the family of God, the bride of Christ, and the body of Christ. Why church? Because God says so. Also, because in a congregation of God's redeemed people, things take place that do not happen anywhere else. I will mention only one or two of them. In Acts chapter 2, we read about the conversion of about 3,000 people. Peter preaches about the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. He tells them to trust in the risen Lord and to repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and that they also would be saved and would receive the Holy Spirit. When they believed and became Christians, they did not just believe and then go on their merry way. They became part of the church. Baptism was the sign that they were washed in the blood of the Lamb and raised to a new life in Christ. And then we read they became part of the community of believers. Acts chapter 2 and 41, we find these words. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I continue to read in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Church is where we can devote ourselves to the study of the Word. This Word tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us about the plan of God, and as it continues on in salvation and sanctification of those that God saves in mercy and in grace, teaching us what it means to follow the Lord in personal life. Every church that is truly Christian stands on the Word of God. A true church will not teach theories of self-esteem and positive thinking, or permit anyone into the pulpit to teach or to preach who thinks they know better than the inspired Word. The foundational teaching of the church should be about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of the church. The household of God is the church of the living God. It is the pillar and the foundation of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Someone at this point may be thinking, okay, so maybe I do need the teaching of a good church with sound theology. But why not just read the Bible on your own or listen to a good Bible teaching program on TV or radio? Why do you stress church? Well, let me say, for sure am for Bible reading, and you can readily see I am for the radio as a means for teaching the Word. But to get the full benefit of the Word, I advise you do not listen only to the broadcasts over TV or radio. Be involved in a congregation of God's people. There's something about just being together with God's people in a given place of worship and hearing of the Word that has special sense of God's presence. Here, the people praise God together, and together they confess their need for forgiveness of sins. The preacher speaks with authority given to him by God, and the people listen with abated breath. The pastor also speaks, applying the Bible teaching to the needs of the particular congregation in a way that the home study or media of TV and radio cannot do. And what is more, when you have questions about the Word of God or personal problems that you are wrestling with, the pastor or another Christian can talk with you face to face about your special need. And may I be bold enough to add, you cannot get this by just standing on your own or by listening to someone on the radio. You need to be an active part of your church. The other vital ministry of the church is the fellowship of believers. I want to share with you this true story. It's of a man who stopped going to church because he was disturbed by the local congregation's attitude and actions. He stayed home on Sundays and watched a good sound preacher on his TV set. He said, "I got what I needed by watching and hearing my TV pastor. He was a sound and a good teacher." Time came when his son was killed in a tragic accident. His word was that there are some things you do not get by watching your TV pastor. The TV preacher, although he was good, was not there at his home to embrace him and pray with him and speak words of hope and comfort. The radio and TV will not weep with those who weep. The only one who could give this man the support he needed were the pastor and the people of the church. It's sad, very sad, that many Christians are facing difficulties who have no church. I am glad some have called me and I try to help them over the phone. Or as the Lord provides the energy, I will visit them. But I can do only so much, and there is not a way you can replace the fellowship of the local church. I have always encouraged people, Christian people, to get into a church. When your time comes and you face illness or lose a loved one, yes, or a family crisis, you do not need good advice over the air. You need people who are right there, brethren who will and can support you in tough times. I know very well that the church has its many faults, and the fellowship is not perfect. After all, the church is a fellowship of sinners who still have plenty of changing to go through. The people do not always get along too well, but I also know from experience that when the going gets tough, the people pull together and support the one who is hurting. Many of you have heard it told in this way: "Now I really know what the communion of the saints is. I do not know how I would have made it without the prayers and support of the people in my church." End of quote. But the church's fellowship does more than get us through hard times. Christians find in fellowship of the church that the whole is greater than the parts, just as the physical body. The church has many parts, each one with its own function. That is what the Bible talks about in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. You may think that the thing you are gifted with is not as important to the church as the things other people excel in. But according to the Word of God, that is not the way to look at it. In a physical body, would it not be crazy if a foot said, "Because I am not a hand, I do not want to belong to the body"? Or if the ear said, "Because I am not an eye, I do not want to belong to the body"? What if the body were one big eyeball? How would I hear? Or what if it weren't big ear? How would it smell? It's a good thing for us that when God created us, the many different body parts, He arranged them the right way. The same principle applies to the church. God brings together many people. Many of them are unique individuals who are gifted in many different ways. If you are a Christian and you think the church can do without you, think again. Every part is important. Now, what I'm going to say, take it the right way. The church needs you. And conversely, you need the church. As the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And so we see it would be insane for one part to say to the entire body, I don't need you. What happens when a part is amputated from the body? It soon dries, dies, decays. If you say to the body of Christ, I don't need you, I can do just as well without you, all on my own, your soul will dry and decay. To live and grow, you need to belong. You need to be an active part of the body. It's not just me and Jesus, it's we and Jesus. When Christians give themselves to the fellowship, they all benefit from each other's God-given gifts, and as a group, they accomplish many things that they could not do as individuals. But now we come to another point, which is a little more difficult. And that is, we need fellowship so that we can be accountable to each other. You want to call it peer pressure? Go right ahead. The world is full of negative peer pressure, but the fellowship of believers can and will provide positive peer pressure. Hear how the scriptures say it. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Don't you think that when we get discouraged in trying to follow our Lord according to His word, that we need a little shove from others? When we fall into sin and bad habits, I need, you need, we all need to be confronted by others. And this means a great deal more than just showing up for Sunday services. A lot more. It means really getting to know one another, either in small groups or in close friendships. If you get anything from what we have said this morning, remember this point. It means putting yourself under the authority of a good Bible-believing church and not simply doing your own thing. The church is a place for loving fellowship where we can stop thinking about ourselves and our own problems and start loving others as Christ loved us. I read the words of Jesus in John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. He's speaking to the apostles. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Another blessing enjoyed in the church mentioned in this book of Acts, and it is prayer. Christians get together to pray. But here again, someone may say, why go to church to pray? I can pray by myself just as well, and perhaps better than in church. I will not deny it. Personal prayer time is important, and also that you can pray anytime and anywhere. But I must say that praying together is also important. When God's people gather together, makes no difference, a small group or a larger gathering, their prayers take on greater meaning and power according to our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. And here are His words. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Why do we need church? because it is there where God's people, together with one heart, praise God with one voice and pray together. I read again Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they steadfastly continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That is what the first Christians did as a church. And I believe that is a good summary of why you and I need to involve ourselves in the church today. In this second chapter of Acts, we see the strength the church had in her witnessing as a result of their fellowship. There were great miracles among the people. Christians were selling their goods in order to take care of the needs of others who did not have enough. Every day they were enjoying fellowship in their homes and were praising God in a temple. And in verse 47 we read, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Also, a true to God congregation is a place where God's power is at work in amazing ways. God's people give of themselves to help others, and by this they bring joy to each other's heart and glory to God. Why do I need the church? It's there that something happens. Glorious things happen. How often we hear or read about the New Testament church, and we are tempted to say, "Oh, how I would love to go to a church like that." But the churches today, well, they just do not have what it takes or are not what they should be. Let me give you a warning, and don't kid yourself. If you are a careful student of the Bible, you will find that the early church, way back there then, had her struggles with her problems and scandals. And if you look carefully at the church today, you will find that it is not as bad as you like to think when you are looking for excuses not to be involved. I will, however, grant you this point, and it is that there are some churches so unbiblical and so corrupt that you would be better off staying away from them. But that does not mean that you can't find a good, sound, Bible-preaching and Bible-believing church. Seek, my friend, and you shall find. Every church has its problems, even those in which God is very much at work and doing great and mighty things. My friends, let's look at it in this way. If the people of the church were all perfect, they would not want a sinner like me and a sinner like you to join it and spoil it. So don't pretend you are too good to join the fellowship of saved sinners by grace that make up the church. And let's not pretend we have better things to do with our time. There is nothing more important than giving of yourself to the study of the Word and giving yourselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If you do, and when you do it, you will be amazed what will be the result in your life and what will be the result in the church.